The 2013 Pine Mountain Music Festival is currently underway, and one of the many series of events includes the annual visit by the Berganzi String Quartet, who come all the way up from Miami and bring all that hot, humid weather with them, and then perform for us in many different communities. With me is the second violinist and oftentimes arranger of pieces for the Berganzi Quartet, Scott Flavin. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Stan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been with the Pine Mountain Music Festival for nearly every single year of its existence.
Well, the quartet, I think we're celebrating our 17th year mm-hmm. coming to the Keweenaw, and we just love it. We love the place, we love the people, we love the festival, and we've really established some long-term friendships here.
Yes.
And when we think about it, we like to always say that if we added up all the weeks we've been here, we've probably lived in the Keweenaw for 2.5 years or so.
Oh, really?
It adds up to that. It really does. And we've loved every moment.
Out of suitcases, nonetheless, but still,
that's
yes.
True.
That's great.
Really
and
terrific.
You've had a chance to develop an even greater repertoire as you go along, performing some pieces over the years that were specific for this festival, and participating with the festival orchestra as its principal members of the string section. Did that also happen this year with the Philharmonic?
There was a little bit of a hiatus with that, yeah. But it worked out this year, and it was really terrific. We had members of orchestras from Marquette, from the Keweenaw Symphony, and players from the Ann Arbor area, as well as ourselves. And so it was great to get everybody together and the kind of friendships you make, even in a short time rehearsing. And we did some wonderful works of Sibelius this year.
Yes.
Our concert as well has Sibelius' wonderful quartet. That's just a fantastic masterwork.
Is that the one that's subtitled Intimate Voices?
Intimate Voices,
yes. Yeah. Beautiful piece.
Oh, it's incredible. 5 movements, and it really takes you to Finland, orally, you know.
Yes.
We really experience the vast landscapes.
Is this the first time you've performed it publicly?
Yeah, we mm-hmm. actually did one concert in Miami before we came up. That was our first performance. So this is among our first performances of the piece. And it took us quite a bit of rehearsal to really come to terms with the music. It's on the surface, it looks rather simple, but there are some great complexities. Namely, he writes a lot of unison writing, meaning one or two or more players playing the exact same notes.
Right.
That's hard to tune. But also conceptually, why did he do that? You know, and sometimes the textures change abruptly and there's silence all of a sudden. Why does he do that? And it took us a while to answer those questions to make an effective podium for the piece. And I think it really is all wrapped up in his feeling for the landscape, for the vastness of nature, for the openness of the sky and the sea. And I think it really is appropriate for the Keweenaw, also factoring in the Finnish element,
yes.
The Finnish population here.
It's too bad he didn't take the time to write programmatic material to go along with it,
right,
so you'd
right.
have a better understanding right off the get-go.
True. Yeah. That can be limiting, though, in the final analysis. So
it was a
long process for yeah. us, but it was a really exciting one, and we now feel that this is now one of our pieces, one of our core pieces, and I'm really excited about that.
I can only assume that it would take several volumes of CDs to record all of the pieces that you folks know by
now. That's true. That's true.
Yes.
It's we have a great deal of repertoire. And it's exciting because even the pieces we've played a million times, like Opus 95, which we're playing tonight, Beethoven, there's always more to discover. It's a never-ending process. And I think that's why we love playing music.
Well, it should be. You know, otherwise, the performances will, you know, for you folks, would start getting boring. And,
true.
And it would reflect that to the audience
Very
as well.
Very true. And you look at some of the greatest performers of all time. I mean, I think of Frank Sinatra, for example, who was always recreating. He wasn't just sitting back and phoning it in.
That's right.
Yeah.
He never performed the same song the same way twice.
True.
Yeah, he never did. The development interpersonally with the quartet over the years, I imagine, has also been able to grow because of this, too.
It's incredible. I'm the newest member of the quartet.
Relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking, 15 years. So. And, you know, there is such an element of trust and love and sharing and respect. And that is, in my experience, is absolutely unique. to this level.
Having seen you perform many times, I know that every once in a while there are these looks toward each other, and every once in a while a little smirk, especially from Ross, the cellist, Ross Harbaugh.
Ross the smirker. He's
a clown anyway. But, and I can say that with affection. I can say that with affection. So there are a lot of inside jokes that occur while you're performing that we'll never know, I'm sure.
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Well, I like to tell my students, of course, we have to, as musicians, we have to play well. We have to have stylistic knowledge. We have to be, always looking for higher level in ourselves. But in the final analysis, we have to be communicators. We have to be giving something out. And whether that involves exaggeration or, really mapping out what you're going to say or allowing it to happen spontaneously, that factor of communication is so incredibly important. So it doesn't mean anything if you're just playing for yourselves. So that's something that we think about very often, about what's getting out to the audience. And I think that's been relatively successful for us.
Scott Flavin is my in-studio guest. He's the second violinist with the Bergonzi String Quartet, which is performing in Marquette today and tonight as part of their tour during this year's Pine Mountain Music Festival. Now, Scott, as I mentioned earlier, you do arrange pieces occasionally. What is your favorite style of music that you'd like to arrange for the string quartet?
Wow, I have to say everything. I mean, some styles don't work. For example, Brazilian music. I have so much trouble. I want to arrange it without having to use percussion instruments, and it's just, in my experience, just not possible. So, Jobim, I love Jobim. Mm-hmm. I wish I could arrange it for quartet, and I can't. But Mahler songs, I've had a wonderful experience writing arranging Mahler for string quartet. But speaking of arrangements, also Pamela McConnell, our violist, is a wonderful arranger, and she arranged a wonderful suite of works of Sibelius for our concert this afternoon, for the children's concert at the library, and tailored it around a wonderful short story about loons.
Oh, really?
And it's really fantastic. So there's everything in there. There's Finlandia in there. There's movements of symphonies in there. There's some bits of the string quartet. And she did that so beautifully. So number one, arranging them for quartet and then making these excerpts work theatrically with the story. So we're very excited about it. Trudy Olson, who's a just recently retired teacher from the Keweenaw, mm-hmm. is reading the story beautifully. And that collaboration is really something special, and we hope to record it next year.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
And again, that's this afternoon, 1:00, mm-hmm. in the community room at Peter White Library, and it's free for everyone to attend, which is a great service that you guys provide.
We love it.
I'm sure it has a double meaning. Not only are you giving kids an opportunity to hear this music, but you're also hopefully encouraging them to also come to your show that night.
True. Yes. And I have to say, one of the greatest compliments we get is when we invite the children from the children's concert to come, and then you see them at the evening concert. I mean, it's just fantastic. The other thing is, we've been up here so many years, we'll have parents come up and say, "Oh, I came when I was a child. I came, and now here's my children."
That's
great.
It's
incredible, that kind of relationship and that longevity. It's a luxury for us.
Yes, I'm sure
it's
it is.
All the people here making it possible.
Well, we're hoping that that story can be told in terms of three generations.
Yes, let's hope so.
Yes.
We'll get out there with our walking sticks and walkers and canes and wheelchairs.
You don't have to stand to play. You can just
true.
Sit down, right.
That's true.
Now, are you all still teaching over at the University of Florida, Miami?
We do. Mm-hmm. University of Miami in Coral Gables, and having a wonderful time doing other activities as well. We all play in orchestras, and I'm conducting a great deal these days. So
I understand you're working on developing another orchestra as well.
Developing an orchestra called the Miami Mozarteum. And I also conduct a wonderful group called the Henry Mancini Institute, which is housed at the University of Miami.
Really?
And I don't know the release date yet, but we filmed a live performance on PBS that'll be broadcast in January with Bobby McFerrin, Chick Corea, who was wonderful to work with, Mark O'Connor, Dave Grusin. So that's a very exciting program and dear to my heart, because I feel we live in an exciting time for music in terms of borrowing from different genres.
Why was it named the Henry Mancini Institute?
Well, the Henry Mancini Institute originally was in L.A., mm-hmm. and it was a summer institute. So for students in the orchestra to come and learn different styles, learn improvisation, and be fluent in the many different languages of music. That went bankrupt a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And our wonderful dean, Shelley Berg, reconstitute it with the blessing of Mrs. Mancini, Ginny Mancini, at the University of Miami. And it's a unique program in that it consists all of graduate students. They all receive full tuition, which it's not cheap at Miami, and
anywhere,
generous stipend. So it works out to about $70,000 per year of awards per student.
Well, well.
And we're assembling an entire orchestra of these TAs and doing amazing things. We've already done two PBS specials, an HBO special, our own concerts, recordings. We did a recording with George Benson and with Gloria Estefan.
Well, you've attracted a lot of big-name talent in this.
It's really, really very exciting. And the big-name talent is excited to work with the kids as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win.
Wonderful.
It's really a wonderful program.
And then you get a chance to do a working vacation way up north.
Exactly.
And be a part of this Pine Mountain Music Festival.
It's fantastic.
Scott Flavin is the second violinist with the Pine Mountain Music Festival's Berganzi String Quartet, which will be performing a free concert this afternoon at 1 at the Peter White Public Library Community Room with a telling of a story that, accompanied by the music of Sibelius. We're looking forward to hearing that. And then tonight, they perform at Reynolds Recital Hall beginning at 7:30 Eastern Time, including the Intimate Voices String Quartet by Sibelius and the Opus 95 Quartet by Beethoven. Again, if you'd like to find out more about it, just go to the Pine Mountain Music Festival website, pmmf.org. You can also call 877-PINE-999 to get tickets in advance or take your chance and try to get tickets at the door. I am hoping that that is a challenge for many people because it's always good to play for a full house, right?
Yes, and that's such a beautiful hall. And when it's filled with people, it makes our job wonderful.
That's right. Scott Flavin, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Stan. Thanks so much.